Blog Talk Radio.
You guys there?
We're here.
We may have lost John. Welcome, Tony.
Hello, Robin. How are you doing?
I am good. It was wonderful to meet you in person last weekend.
Absolutely. I had a great time. That was one heck of an event.
It did really well. I was so tickled. That we had that one in the week before we did the Georgia Bigfoot Conference, and, man, that was rocking, too. That, I was really pleased. They both turned out very well.
Well, I enjoyed meeting everybody, and especially Igor. I mean, that was super interesting. I mean, he is a very, very knowledgeable man.
Yes, he is. He's actually, while we are on here, he is sitting in my dining room hard at work.
Ah.
Yeah, if it doesn't rain here, I'm going to get him out in the field tomorrow. I've got someone that has Bigfoots at her house, and about 2 years ago, I actually was purchasing a mini pig from her. She's got a little farm.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, why am I buying this pig? I had no desire for another pig. I love him. I already had two. And I'm like, I don't need a pig. I wasn't looking for a pig. And now I'm like, if I don't get this pig, what, my world will end. Until I got out there, I got out there, I had no interest in this piglet, and every foot that was in a radius of, I don't know how many miles, was in my head going, tell them we exist, tell them we live here. I'm like, I didn't have to buy a pig for this. You guys send me everywhere. You could have just simply said, go here and tell these people. But no, now I have a piglet who I absolutely adore. He is just, I cherish him. He's precious. But I wasn't looking for one at all. And so since then, once I opened her eyes to the fact that they were there, they've been having great interaction and leaving gifts out for them. And so she called the other day, and she has a friend that's getting rid of an African wildcat, and she is having a hard time placing him because he's not a house cat. And would I take him? And I said yes. So when I go out there, she's like, Robin, the Bigfoots are still really active. Will you come out and see? Because they're doing all kinds of stuff. And I said, well, I've got the perfect team to do it. So I'm grabbing Janice Carter, grabbing Igor Borstev, and as long as it doesn't rain, we're headed to the woods.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Wow, that sounds like fun, Robin. It really does.
We'll see what happens when I get this wildcat.
That's
how much fun.
Well, all I got to say is it's great to have you folks here on ScaryCast tonight, our pre-Halloween edition, so that we don't bother everyone while they're having fun on Halloween tomorrow night. So it's great to have everybody with us tonight. We got Tony Filosi for a very specific reason. I am entering into a time where I'm going to be needing to create EVPs and use the ghost box. So, Tony, could you come on ScaryCast and tell me and tell everybody else, how do you create an EVP? What are the steps to go through? What's the how do you frame it? And then how do you use the ghost box, and what do you get out of it? And then I talked to Robin today. I said, Robin, that's what we're going to do. She said, I'd like to come on. I said, great. Devin is busy with Halloween activities over there in Hollywood, so he will be back with us next week. So, Tony, talk to us a little bit about if I was going to go into a lonely, dark, scary basement, how would I go about creating an EVP recording, and what are some of the things that I would do to prepare for it?
Well, first off, if you're going into a dark, scary basement, have a light. That's the first thing.
Yay. And, exactly.
But once that you you want to learn a little bit about the history of the location, that way you can frame your question to where you're going to get a high percentile answer, where you want to play statistical probabilities, because if you have knowns that happened at the location and you frame the questions that only somebody that was either there or has intimate knowledge of the history of the location would know, then you're going to have a higher, that's going to be a higher percentage possibility that you caught an intelligent EVP. Now, what you want to do if you're using a, we'll back that up just a little bit. First thing you want to do is get a program. I use WavePad. Some people use other programs, you can purchase it online. I have the Master's Edition, which gives you a few more things. It's like $40, and that will allow you to pull your recording off of your digital recorder and get it up there and work with it. Now, if you're using a ghost box or a spirit box, you know, that usually cycles through radio stations. And there's a frequency inside that white noise that the entities can use to basically piggyback or amplify their voices. Because the human range you're hearing is between 20,000 hertz. So most of your EVPs come in infrasound, and they use this white noise to amplify it, where you pretty well get them in real time, but they come across fairly quickly, like they're fast-forwarded, probably 75% of them. You want to make sure that you're using a good digital recorder. We use a lot of Sonys, or we use Tascams. You want the digital recorder placed approximately 2.5 to 3 feet away from the ghost box, and you want to play with the volume of the ghost box so that it does, whenever you pull it up on your program, that it's just not a bunch of very, very loud white noise. You know, it's hard to pull anything out of that. So there's some tricks to the trade here that'll save you a lot of grief. Do you want to
so you're going to use both?
Yes.
You're going to use the ghost box, but use the recorder to record it.
Absolutely.
And now,
now it doesn't come with the recorder?
I'm sorry?
I'm sorry, Diana wasn't trying to interrupt you. I just wondered if any of the ghost box, do the ghost box not come with the recording mechanism in it?
No, they don't come with the recorders built in. Now, Gary Galka is working on one. The APV that looks like it has one in it, but there's you can catch EVPs. You do not have to use the ghost box to catch EVPs. That's only just one facet of
catching EVPs. Years ago, and I want to say this is probably back in 2014, maybe 13,
mm-hmm.
probably 13. I had a researcher that came out to the house. He's a very, very nice guy. And he came out, Igor was there, and we had quite a few people. And he brought the recorder. He always carries one with him. And we had so many, he was there to study the Bigfoots, but we had so much activity inside the house. He said, I've got this in my car. Do you care if I set it up? And I'm like, yeah, go ahead. I think it would be for fun. And I knew that we had a little girl there. I had physically seen her with my own eyes. And so he did this, and it actually worked. I mean, it really did. She went on there and said she said she wanted to call me mommy. Would I be her mommy? And I said, yeah, I would. And then she also was talking about our cat, that she liked our cat. She thought the cat was pretty, and she liked to pet the cat.
Wow.
Now, Robin, is this the same house you're in now?
No, this is back in Michigan. This is where there was so much activity. I mean, I have the Bigfoot all over the place here as well. But back then, because of where I was located at, they would just walk freely uncloaked all over the place. I mean, it was just normal. You would look outside and see somebody strolling across the yard. Like, it was just incredible, the stuff that went on at that house. And that was going on as well. And he had actually wanted to do an all-night thing where he was going to stay up to see if he could see anything. Again, looking for the Bigfoot on the property. And I was sitting there talking to him, and this huge apparition free-floated across the yard. And it looked like a woman in some kind of long white gown. And then he had taken a picture of my collie, and the next day when he took a picture of her, there was an apparition of a soldier standing next to her. So, I think so. I couldn't really tell because it wasn't real clear, but you could definitely see it was a soldier and he was in uniform.
All right. Now, Tony, I've got a quick question for you. When you're talking about a digital recorder, if I went to a place like Best Buy, what would I expect to spend on one that's adequate and reasonable for the job? $100, $150?
$100. Yeah. That's easily you can get one for that. Usually, I don't know the model. I should know the model off my Sony, which I'll get it but I'll message it to you. But the Sonys I like, they use I believe two AAA batteries, and you can get about 1,000 recording hours out of that, which makes them real handy, and they're tough. They have good sound quality. And then when you get into something, you want to get into something a little bit more expensive, but not much more, that records actually a little better, probably a Tascam DR05. You can get those $80 to $100.
And yeah, the one I have is a Sony.
Sony's are good quality. And then you can get you get the little plug-in X mics that go on them, make them a little bit more efficient. And I'm going to start experimenting with actually wiring the whole room up, because there's a lot of times if you're filming this, if you need to film it, because sometimes you'll catch EVPs on your video equipment. And I'm going to start, we'll say the room's a 20 by 20. I'll have my main EVP station, and I'll go to maybe to the corners of the room and place one of the Sonys, which are easy to do. They're very small. And place those. And the reason I'm going to do that is a lot of times the entities will come up, either won't hardly come close enough to you, and you can hear them when you play it back, but it's very low, and you can amplify that with your program, with WavePad. And I like to use I don't like to do a whole lot to the EVP. I like to keep it as original as I can. I'll amplify it, or I'll do a low pass filter, or maybe slow it down, and that's about all I'll do to an EVP. Because if you get in doing too much, sometimes you will destroy the whole, essence of it and change what you're hearing. And I don't like to do that.
May I ask you a question, Tony?
Sure.
I'm wondering if this would even be something that you could use or not. You've heard the bionic ears?
Yes.
Now, would something like that pick up an EVP or no?
It could possibly. You could possibly hear very low voices with it.
We use them to listen for the foots when they're talking, but I was wondering if that kind of a thing would work well enough to pick up an EVP.
Yes, yes. You're talking about like the parabolic dishes.
Yeah.
Something like that. Yeah, they will work. And also, you can just plug your headphones into the recorder, and you will hear a lot more of what's going on. You'll hear low voices and things like that in real time. You may not can make them out, but and some of them are really, really clear. Sometimes everything's just right, and they come across through there, and it's just like you and I talking.
I'd like to get the ones that we've got here. I mean, we've got an older gentleman that's real talented, and we've got a little girl here. And we've seen them, you know, they'll mind speak with us. I mean, pretty much anytime you're trying to get hold of them. And we've watched the doors open and close on their own and all kinds of craziness. I mean, that goes on besides even what the Bigfoots do here. So I wouldn't mind. I've got one of those little recorders. I've got a Sony recorder. It was given to me years ago for the foot. But every time I put it out, they mess with it and I get absolutely nothing. So I've never, and you know, I never even think about putting it out to see if I can pick it up from the ghost.
Oh, yeah. Now, can you take, is that recorder set up to where that you'll have a cable or a mini SD card that you can get it over to your laptop or your desktop?
I think this one, yeah, I think so. I think there's a little mini SD card in here in it. I'll have to look at it again because I've had it forever.
You want to make sure that the recorder's set up that where you can either has you can pull the card out, or most of the time I just use the cable. You know, come with an adapter to your USB port.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's got a port in the bottom for it, or on the side,
right.
Actually.
And then you want to pull it. What you want to do is take that audio file and pull it over to your desktop or laptop. And then if you have a WavePad, and there's several other, you know, programs out there that people use, but WavePad's one of the more popular ones. And it's very easy to use.
It's called WavePad?
WavePad, yeah, I think NCH or something. People have it. They're the ones that sell the program. Software.
Okay,
software.
Thank you. I may try that.
And Robin, and I want to explain one thing to you. We're having this discussion tonight, and then Tony and I are going to have another discussion, and we're going to be putting together kind of a step-by-step of what you need to buy, what you need to hook up, because too many people want to do this and really don't know how. Right, Tony?
Yeah, there's a lot of misconceptions out there. There's a lot of people. We can have you catching EVP. You know, if you're in an active location, I can't get. If you're not in that active location, you're not going to catch anything. It's like, you know, every time that you go out on an investigation, you don't catch EVPs. I mean, they're just sometimes there's not any activity. But we can set them up for about $100 to $150. And they can, you know, that's the software, that's the recorder, and, you know, teach them how to do decent EVP work with that. Now, there's a free version of WavePad that you can download and try out, which is pretty good. It's not bad at all. And I used it for a couple of years before I bought the Master's Edition.
Oh, wow, okay.
Tony and I, and then I'm going to let you continue, Tony. Tony and I are going to be doing an investigation in about, you know, somewhere in the next 4 to 5 weeks. And I'm going to, you know, take some pictures of how we get it set up, because I think the more people that can learn how to do this, the better it will be. And we've got what I believe is to be a very active site. I don't want to mention it here on air, but we're going to be doing that. And I think both of you know the site that we're talking about, and we're going to set this up and we're going to do this and we're going to see what we can get, because we have a presentation the first or second weekend, depending on the scheduling, in April of next year. And Robin will be there as well. Robin knows, she doesn't know exactly the full extent of this, but she knows she's going to be there because she's got a presentation to make. Tony's also going to be doing his Man Shepherd presentation, which we really can't wait to see.
Oh, I love that. I'm so excited about that. And I'm going to take you up on your offer. And I am going to make a point of coming to Kentucky for this.
We'd love to have you, because there's lots of locations that we can take you to that's really active, that I would love to have a remote viewer in there because I'm telling you, everything from big heavy doors that have slammed to shadow.
Well, I'm anxious to get in there. I'm really looking forward to it, to be honest with you.
You know, and we'll all talk about it and see if we can set this up. I'd like to set this up a couple months before we have our presentations in early April.
And that's fine.
So, you know, like whatever additional information we can get. Yeah, I mean, I think it's going to be wonderful. You know what? We just have too good of a time investigating, don't we, Tony?
Oh, yes, absolutely.
Robin, we have a great time doing this stuff, don't we?
I love it.
Absolutely. Okay, so anyway, Tony, you so you were saying we've got our digital recorder, we've got WavePad, mm-hmm. and that's going to be on our laptop, correct?
Yes, that's correct. It'll be on your laptop. And the good thing about this is, and I like using a laptop more than I do a desktop, but, I mean, if I had the wherewithal, I would have both. I'd have killer setups on both. But the good thing about a laptop is we'll say that you're at an active location and you're taking a break and you know you caught some EVPs, you flip it up, you know, you pull it up, and you might can glean some information to when you go in to do your second session, then you can frame your questions accordingly to what some of the information that you caught. You know, so that's a good part for having your laptop with you, if it's possible.
Yeah.
But
now,
I have a question. You know, when it comes to the voice box or the spirit boxes, and you're probably the only one I know that can answer this. Now, I've talked to ghosts since I was a toddler. That's the normal. My girls can talk to ghosts. Some of my boys can. My daughter gets tired of it because, especially like during Beltane and stuff, she'll be sitting there watching TV and they'll come up to her. Like she'll turn around and they're standing right there. And she always tells them, go find my mom. Just go talk to my mom and leave me alone. But you get these spirit boxes. And
right.
You also have your Ouija boards, which I do not touch Ouija boards. My mother is also one that can speak to spirits. And when she was a kid, her and her girlfriend used to use the Ouija boards. And things went south really quick and very dangerously. So she had told me a long time ago, you know, that some you don't cross there, don't go there. Now, when it comes to the spirit box, is there anything negative like goes on with the Ouija boards, or is that pretty safe?
Well, that's a good question because I've actually asked that question when I first started myself. So they're using the electronics.
Right, for the white noise.
Instead of you, you know, the Ouija board, they're using you.
Yeah, they're just opening it up.
Right.
You're the vessel.
Right. So it's a lot safer, in my opinion, to use the ghost box.
Yeah, I just wanted your opinion on that because I here's what started it. 2 weeks ago, we did the Georgia Bigfoot Conference, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely phenomenal, probably one of the best conferences I've done. I love it every time I go there. And a very dear friend of mine flew in from Massachusetts, and she said, you know what? I'm going to rent you a house, and you can have whoever you want come over and stay. And I was like, oh, my gosh, okay. So we had people come over and stay, one of which was Don Tart, who absolutely loved Don. He's just the best. And my very dear friend Janice Carter was there, as well as my other friend, Alyssa. And he brought out a spirit box. And so I was working on something else, but him and Janice decided they were going to do the spirit box because we had a lot of things activity-wise and things moving in the house. So they started talking on the spirit box, and there was a little girl that came through first, and then there was a man. And the little girl started trying to talk, and then she just kind of fizzled out. But she was mind-speaking. Now, I could hear her just fine. But as she had stopped on the box, and she just kept saying she wasn't strong enough to keep talking on the box. She said, I'll talk to you, but she said, I'm too weak. I'm not strong enough to stay and talk on the box to that woman, which meaning Janice. But the male got very irate and said some very unkind things to Janice. I mean, granted, we laughed because we thought it was funny, but he was volatile. Like, he was not a happy man, and he made sure he told her what he thought of her, which was very odd. And the little girl, after it seemed like she must have gotten her strength back or something, she popped back on. She couldn't say much, just like a word here and a word there. But that just made me think, you know, what is that like with the Ouija board? But you're right. They use you. It opens that doorway and anything can come in. I mean, things can come in, but it's got to come in through the white noise. So it would probably be harder to attach.
Yes, but now also I always close the spirit box. When I use a spirit box or any session, I always tell them, you know, goodbye and you can't follow us home. You know, you have to stay here. I'm very adamant about when you close your session, you always want to say, you know, you have to stay here. Goodbye. You have to stay here. You're not allowed to follow anybody home. This is where you have to stay.
Now, have you had a good success rate with doing that, or do you have most of them that listen and a few that don't?
Most of them listen. You know, with anything, you'll have some of them that'll try to piggyback, you know.
Yeah.
Then you gotta.
I mean, I know how to remove them if they do, but
yeah.
I'm just curious.
Yes.
For anybody listening that may want to try it.
It's serious business. I mean, a lot of
folks
think, you think that, you know, look, a lot of enthusiasts out there, and I'm not and I'm by no means an expert. I'm just a researcher. But a lot of folks don't take it serious enough when you start communicating with the other world, that serious stuff, that can follow
it
you
is.
Home if you don't do it right. I mean, I don't think enough folks take it seriously. You know?
Yeah, and I get that as well, because in some of the things that I do, in fact, last night I had a young man who I've helped for years, as I always have. And he's like, oh, I'm doing great. I'm meditating. And I'm like, everybody thinks, let's run out and meditate. And then there's me. And I'm like, no, you just don't do it that freely. Because if you don't know how to read the energy, anything can come in and tell you they're whatever.
Yes.
And I spend a lot of time cleaning people up from the attacks they get during meditation.
Absolutely. And that's good that you're telling that. Because it's very true. I mean, you don't know. You have to be very skeptical. I mean, even
absolutely.
if they answer questions correctly, you still have to be skeptical about that they are who they say they are.
I had one girl tell me, well, it's fine because I tell Jesus Christ not to let anybody come near me. And I, you know, I have very strong in my faith, and I know, you know, that if I need him, Jesus Christ will be there. But I keep telling this woman, you know, if you keep putting yourself in these situations, you are going to end up having to deal with it. You're just going to.
Yeah.
You know, and she's like, well, I see, when I do it and I close my eyes, I see this, 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 and this. And I said, and none of those are good. Like, why? Just why are you doing this? You know?
Absolutely. But yeah, you want to be very careful with the spirit box. It's harder for them to attach to you. But still yet, you know, you have them in the area, and some people want to hear things so bad, I think they invite entities in, for lack of a better
word. Yeah,
they do. Because they want to hear something so badly, and they need to look at it. I mean, if you're not, you know, like yourself, you know, remote viewer, psychic, that knows how to handle the energies and things like that, you need to stick to the basics and leave the higher level stuff.
Yeah, and I might be wrong on this, but don't you, and this is my opinion, this isn't because I know this, because I am so not an expert in this field. That's why I so enjoy talking to you. But be specific who you ask for, because I also know people that go in and say, anybody that wants to talk to me, I'm here, come in peace. And it's just like you're putting up this giant neon sign for anything. And just because you say come in peace doesn't mean they will, because that's why the bad ones are bad. They don't listen. They don't care.
Yeah, there's
you know, they have no remorse. And so they just internally say, oh, well, they'll think I'm coming in peace, so I'll just kind of come in and take over. And then I usually get phone calls afterwards and like, please get this off of me.
Yes. they'll be oppressed. I mean, they'll start out with oppression, and then that leads on up to worse things, you know.
Yep. And blowing up your world. They love it. They feed on that negative energy they cause.
Yes, absolutely. So a lot of people don't know that, especially there's stronger entities that will come into your home. And I worked a case about 3 years ago that contributed, without a doubt, to a divorce that I had, working shadow people. And let me tell you something, they were feeding off, they were causing his husband and wife to fight. And
oh, absolutely.
They fed off that. They fed off
and
that.
Shadow people can kill. You have to really be careful with them if they want to. They're supposed to be a neutral entity. But
right.
Once in a while I'll see one that just kind of ignores you.
Yeah.
But some of them can be deadly, and I know that firsthand. So, yeah.
I had a go around with them about three or four years ago, and they're the real deal. I mean, people they need to educate themselves because what they see, they will say they've seen a shadow person, like if they're doing an investigation that just darts across. That's not a true shadow person. Usually.
No, it's not.
That's just an entity going from one place to the other. A true shadow person will come in and they'll have the hats or the cape or this or the red eyes.
Yep, exactly.
Or the,
and they blow up your world.
Yeah.
And you as well.
Yes. They're the real deal, and I can attest to that.
I always tell people, I'm like, these entities and the shadow people, they all do the same thing. They blow up their world. They make you miserable so that you have that, what I call a gray cloud around you because of the darkened energy. It's not light anymore. It's now gray or darker because the mental state that it puts you in, and they all come in like a buffet, and they feed off of that.
And that's what I tell people. I use the same analogies like a buffet. Not only will they do that with the depression, they'll try to depress the person, but they'll try to frighten them, and they'll feed off that fear. They want to keep them.
Absolutely.
They want to keep really highly charged emotion going, and that feeds them. That fires them up.
It does, and they keep you in that state so that you're so worked up you cannot clearly see what's going on.
Yes, and they're hard to get rid of.
I just pulled two people like with a week ago, right before I went to the Tennessee conference.
Well, I will leave the shadow people thing to the true professionals, because I've dealt with them one time, and I don't want to deal with them again, you know. But I mean, if I have to, I have to. But I absolutely would use very great caution.
Yes, I agree completely. I'm in different groups on Facebook, and they get all excited about it. And I'm like, you guys have no idea what you're up against. You know, wait till you go bury somebody that is a result of the shadow people. Like, don't even go there. Like, you guys don't understand. You can't comprehend the level that this thing will go.
And if they don't like you, they're going to keep messing with your mind and try to get you to hurt yourself.
Yep,
you know,
they sure will.
That's what they don't understand.
People get confused, and they think they're demonic. These are not a demonic entity. These are a dark entity, and there's a big difference.
There's
not that either one of them are good, but there's
a difference. So, hey, Robin, hold on. Tell us the difference, because I think that's an important thing. You know, but I mean, like, I don't. And so please explain the difference between dark versus demonic. That would be very instructive. Is that okay?
I mean, I can tell you what I know. I don't mind that. I agree with Tony. I'm not an expert in this. This is live and learn. Your demonic entities, they actually do come from the underworld. They are truly demonic by every definition of the word in the Bible. Okay, they come from the underworld. They intend to do you harm. They intend to turn you evil. That's what they do. That is their purpose. But then you have these dark entities. These dark entities can be anything. They do not come from the underworld. They come from anything out in the galactic. They can come through any portal. They can come from here on Earth. But they do not come from the underworld. Now, they can be just as deadly. They can be just as evil. But they are not an evil demonic from the bowels of hell entity when you think of something demonic. And I see a lot of people, especially with dealing with the cryptids, and if there's any of them that are bad or whatever, it's, oh, they're demonic. And I'm like, people, look up demonic in your Bible. Look up demonic in your dictionary, because that's not what these are. Not everything bad is demonic. You know, we have fractions of ETs that are good. We have some that are bad. You know, we have dimensionals that are good and bad. We have elementals that are good and bad. And we have, Lord knows, all the different things coming in and out of the portals that are good and bad, but they're coming out of these portals. They're not coming from the underworld. They are not demonic. Now, I know other, you know, people may disagree with me, and I respect everybody's opinion. But this is what I've learned in my experiences. And so there is a big difference. You know, when you're talking demonic, you're talking about everything they talk about in the Bible. And you're talking about everything from down in hell coming up to do whatever it needs to do. And have I gone up against anything demonic? Absolutely. Did I live to tell about it? Yes, thank you, God. You know,
you're here. Yeah. Exactly.
Exactly. And I've gone up against the dark entities before, and I will continue to do it as I have to, because, you know, I'm a child of light. I'm a child of bright energy and positive energy. And so, you know, I'm an easy target. But all these dark things, they are out there. And I spoke with a very lovely woman at the Georgia Bigfoot Conference. She was just wonderful, just a nice little older woman, probably about my age. And she had had a very hard life, not through any fault of her own, but still a hard life. And she said, I just feel like things don't get better. And then it puts me into a depressive state. And I'm like, first of all, we need to find out if it's just your life or is it a dark entity, not a demonic entity, because there's no signs of anything demonic or any demonic activity, just a dark energy. And so I told her a few things that she could try. And I explained to her, I said, you know, life is a roller coaster. You go up, you go down, you turn inside out. Things are going to happen. You know, but here's some exercises you can do. And if this helps you, then you know that you're dealing with a dark entity and you just learned how to get rid of it. You know, if it doesn't help, then that's just part of your life. And you just have to keep overcoming it. You know, I gave her some things that she could do to make her feel better. And she came up to me the next day and she hugged me and she was like in tears. I said, what's the matter? And she said, everything you said worked. Every bit of it. She said, it was an entity. And she said, I did do what you say. And it did leave me alone. You know, so it kind of gave her a little bit of that power back. But yeah, there is a difference. And I see so many times people will say that this is demonic or this is demonic. And I'm like, you know, not everything is demonic just because it's bad. You know, and you have to, you know, you're going to treat them each differently in order to be rid of them. And if you're going around treating everything like it's demonic, you're just spinning wheels.
Well, thank you. I mean, that's very grateful. I mean, I think it is. So,
I don't know if
that
was helpful or not, but.
Well, no. The way I like to do things is I like to categorize things. So there's one category, which is the demonic, and then there's another category, which is dark. They both have
dark energy.
They both can have essentially the same function and the same problem they can deliver, but they're just they come from different places. Okay, well that's good.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, there's Dr. John trying to be the researcher and categorize, but I think that's good. I mean, I can see it.
I think that's good. I think that breaks it down to where it's easier to understand. And, you know, we just, like I said, you know, I saw somebody the other day on Facebook and said, you know, the bad Bigfoots are demonic. Number one, the Bigfoots are a very highly religious and spiritual person. Very, very high. And even with the bad ones, I mean, we have our people are bad too, so there's obviously bad with them. That doesn't mean they're demonic. That means that they've chosen to be not good, you know, which gives them that darker aura, which creates that dark haze around them. And they are dark and they are bad. It doesn't mean they're any safer than the demonic ones, but they do come from two different ways. They, you know, they just simply aren't demonic because they're bad anymore. If when your kids are little, if your kid gets into trouble, you don't say your kid's demonic. You say he's a kid that needs guidance and I have to help him. You know, it doesn't mean he's demonic because he's bad. And it's pretty much the same thing. And there are what I call bottom feeders, which is not the technical term. It's just what I call them. And they do. They come in and they feed on that dark energy around people. You know, it's normal for people to have days they're up and days they're down. It's normal to get depressed now and then. Life is not easy. You know, but,
you pick.
Yeah. So you pick yourself up from it. I mean, I allow myself a 24-hour pity party, and then I tell myself to get over it. And, you know, so then as you go back up, you can push away all that negative energies that are coming in to feed. But when they come in and they feed on you long enough and they play the mind games, you stay down and you think everything in your world is bad and you're blowing it, you know. And it's something that people don't realize that sometimes, not all the time, but sometimes you can control that.
Yeah, now I want to say something.
It's not a demonic presence.
If I may, and this is important, I'd like to get this out, Tony. If you don't mind, it's kind of off topic. And Robin, it's a little bit on topic for what you've been talking about. But, for example, when someone says Bigfoot is bad, I say, why? Well, because they can do big things, they can hurt you, this and that. And so here's what I tell people, because I learned this from my experience in Lakemont, when they wanted to make sure, I mean, Bigfoot communicates with us differently than reading a book or watching television.
Yeah.
They
yeah.
wanted me to stay inside. And now you got an 11-foot tall dude, and he slams against the cabin you're in.
Cabin.
And then starts making these big footprint noises and just is absolutely frightening. But first of all, that is a way of communication. And if you're 11 feet tall and you do not normally speak English to somebody, you have to figure out a way to communicate with someone. And maybe it was a little bit of fear, but that's okay. They said, you know, they want to say, stay inside this cabin. And I did. Gratefully, I stayed inside the cabin.
And it's good to point. Well, you're exactly right, John. And another thing that's good to point out is, number one, even the DNA proves they are people. You know, like it, don't like it, doesn't change the fact. But we have good and bad in our people. Like, we have serial killers, we have rapists, you know, we have psychopaths, we have all these things. And there are people, so they're going to have them as well. But with all the communication skills they have, and they can, there's not a language they cannot speak. But, I mean, I still hear from the ones in Russia from when I went there to Siberia for the conference back in 2012. So, I mean, they can do all these things, but people need to also realize that their ways are not our ways. It's just like if we were to pick up and we were going to go and we hightail it over, you know, whether it's to England or the, you know, Australia or China or whatever, the ways of the people there are not necessarily the ways of our people here. And it's the same basic principles, because the Bigfoot's ways are not our ways and ours are not theirs. So sometimes there is communication, just like when I spoke to the ones that had shook the cabin you were in. And the first thing they said was, we meant no harm. We came in peace. You know, they had no intention of hurting you. That was not even a thought that they possessed. You know, they had, you know, this young boy out there, and it was his first hunt, and they were going to make sure that you didn't disturb his first hunt. It was a ritual. It was a rite of passage. But
right.
If you didn't know that, their ways are different, you would be fearful, and you'd think, oh, my gosh, they're trying to attack me. You know, fortunately, you knew that. So even though it was unraveling, you were okay.
Sure, I was. And Tony, now I'm going to switch to you, because I think there are some spirits that want to communicate. They don't hurt, but they want to communicate. And that's who you, in your efforts and your technology, that's who you want, like to work with. And there are, am I not correct in saying there are entities that you talk to that do want to communicate, right?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. They don't have to. Just because you ask a question doesn't mean there's no set of rules that says they have to answer it. So if you get a reply, they're wanting to open up a dialogue with you. Now, we've talked a little bit about the ghost boxes. Let's talk about, let me give you real quick a couple of of ghost boxes that I've worked with that are successful. Gary Goff of Pro Measure makes the PSB series, the PSB 7 and the PSB 11, and I've had success out of both of them. One's about $70. PSB 7 is about $70, which is that's probably what I would recommend for somebody just getting in. And there's
who makes this one?
Gary Galka. His company's name is Pro Measure.
Okay.
And that's probably what I would get starting out. I don't want to say it's cruder, but it's effective, and it's and remember, when you're using these, keep your volume to an acceptable level and keep your recorder about 2.5-3 feet from the device, so that the audio will be discernible. But now you do not have to have a spirit box to catch EVPs. If you have a good Sony or a good Tascam or Olympus or anything like that, you can catch EVPs with those. A lot of times they will be clearer. You won't catch as many because there's no energy there for them to use. But the trade-off to that is they probably will be a little clearer. And I've caught them both ways. I catch about 70% with the ghost box and about 30% without. So
now,
you can do either one.
Is the ITC any good?
ITC is instrumental trance communication. That's just a slang term for.
Yeah, Amazon has them. I was very surprised to find they were on Amazon. But they don't say what brand it is. It says it's a PSB7 spirit box, but it doesn't give me.
That's correct. That's Gary Galka. Yes, PSB7 is a. And they're saying it's an ITC research tool. Is probably what they're saying. But Gary Galka is the manufacturer.
Okay.
Pro Measure is the one that makes the PSB7.
Okay.
Yeah,
because it doesn't say anything about it.
Maybe somewhere in the description it'll probably tell you that. Maybe somebody else is selling it. You know, I mean, you can order directly from Measure.
We had so much activity at that house during the Georgia Bigfoot Conference, and then when I went to go leave, there was a ceiling fan in the room, and I had it on the entire time I was there, and we were there from Thursday to Monday. And I kept it going all the time because I like a little breeze when I'm sleeping. And it had the two heavy chains that hung down on it. Those chains never moved. I never changed the fan speed. I just left it on the whole time I was there. I'd shut it off at the wall switch when I left, and I'd turn it on when I got back. And it was consistent. It never moved. These chains didn't move. And somebody had said they didn't want me to leave. And I said, well, you know, I'm sorry, but I have to go back. And I went to go pack my suitcase, and I kept hearing this clanking, and I looked up. These chains were swinging so loud, I thought they were going to break the ceramic globe.
Wow.
Like, they were just all over the place. The one chain had looped up and gotten looped over the globe. The other one was making this horrible loud, and I mean loud, like, I couldn't believe it, clanking noise. Like, it was hitting repeatedly on those globes. And so I zipped up my suitcase and I put it down and it kept going. And I remembered I had forgotten something. So I put the suitcase back and opened it up, and I had to take some of the things back out. And the second I started to unpack that suitcase, it came to a grinding halt. And it didn't move again. Yeah. And then as soon as I started packing again, we went right back to it again.
Right. Right.
But I thought, you know, so when I came home, I was looking for a spirit box, and I'm an avid Amazon gal. I'm always buying stuff because I have grandkids, and Amazon, I can ship it anywhere. I really do. I spend way too much at Amazon, but it's great because my grandkids live all over the United States and in Canada, so I can go on there and ship wherever I want to, and it's much easier. But I was surprised to find they have them on Amazon, and they're relatively reasonable.
Yes, yeah. Now, I would get the, like I said, I would start out with the PSP7, and a lot of people will get external speakers and use with the PSP7.
These, I found two, and both of them had, one of them has a mic, and the other one, the one that I just told you about, has the external speaker.
Get the one with the external speaker. That's a good price to start out. How much is it? $70, $80?
That particular one is $89.90, and then there was another one there that's also an SB7 that's just not quite as fancy, and that one comes with a mic that you plug in on the outside of the box, so it has an extra mic.
Mm-hmm.
And that one was $69.90.
Get the one with the speaker, and that's about the right price with a speaker included. It's about $80, something like that.
Yeah, it looks really nice. It does.
Now that's it. Now I'm going to go through some of the price ranges and some of the things you can get. Okay, that's the lower end, but those are effective. Then you can get the PSP 11, which is about $50 or so more. Which has two PSP 7s in it, which does a good job. I actually prefer the PSP 7. I have an 11, but I'm going to buy a 7, and it just seems I have better luck at it. Now, that's around the $100 range. Now, you go up from there, and then you get into, there's this gentleman that manufactures Ghost Boxes. His name is Steve Holtak. And they're called, you know, just very plain Steve Boxes. So, and we have a lot of success out of this. If we're using like the combo, we'll have the Steve Box and the PSP, and we will catch one of those two boxes, usually will do the deal. Then also we use a fellow from the UK. His name is Nigel Mortimer. Check out Nigel's box. We have caught some super clear EVPs with the Nigel's box, and they're very
very
bright. Then you go up to the top end, which is George Brown. I don't know if you ever heard the Geo boxes. A good friend of mine and the guy that my go-to on the ITC research. He uses the Geo box, which is somewhere around $1,000, $700 to $1,200. But his group is his name is Matthew Jackson, and his group is called Paraholics. So if you want to research someone that's done, I've done hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of hours. And Matthew's probably done twice what I've done. And Matthew's very well grounded. He's very good. He's very well grounded. And if there was anything close to an ITC, a guy that's used a lot of boxes and things, if I were to, and Matthew's like me, he doesn't throw around the term expert very lightly, but I would go look at a lot of Matthew's videos on YouTube, the Paraholic.
Yeah.
You can find him by that, or Matthew Jackson. But Matt is a real deal. He's good. He's not hoaxed. What you see is what you get. And I've hunted with Matthew before, and Matt's an exceptional investigator. His partner is Mike Colwell, and Mike is a stand-up fellow. He's a great guy also. So those guys are so, you know, what I'm trying to do is to kind of guide you to other sources of knowledge, you know, because I'm definitely not an expert, but I know people that are really, you know, I consider myself okay, but I can guide you for people that are really, really good. But those are kind of the price points of the Ghost Box. The PSB's around 100. The PS or PSB 7's around 100. PSB 11, around 130. Then Nigel's box is somewhere around 130, 150. Then Steve Holtak's boxes are somewhere around 450. 400, 450. Then you get on up into like George Brown's boxes and the prices. But they're good. Everybody I talked about makes a very good product.
Yeah, it sounds really interesting.
So.
Well, it does, Tony. And, I mean, it's amazing that you've got a lot of knowledge and you've given it to us tonight that people want to know, like
I
me.
Agree.
I mean, you know, I'm just kind of like a...
John called me tonight and he said, yeah, I'm having Tony on. And I'm like, oh, my God, Tony's coming on, because I was so enthralled with the conversation the last time you were on.
Oh, yeah.
I was totally captivated the whole time.
Thank you very
much.
Yeah,
and you know, it's like, and like Robin is our third, one of our third season hosts, along with Devin Tate, and she was thrilled. I said, you know, I just want to let you know, because it was crazy getting done with Tennessee Bigfoot Conference. It was so busy for me, and I finally got back and recovered yesterday. And I said, Robin, you know, love to have you on there. Just make sure you know we're a day early. But you know, Tony, I think talking about this type of stuff, talking about the technology of ghost hunting, that if you want to call it that, that's what it is. I think it's important, and people need to learn more about it, and it needs to be more accessible to people. It's not like, well, I have to go to YouTube and try to figure out which video is correct and whatever. Because here at Scarycast, we try to be as correct and as legitimate as we can be in what we present, and that's why we have people like you. So you know, just having you with us is wonderful. And
yeah, I'm a fan, Tony.
I appreciate
Tony,
that.
We're fans of Tony Filosi. I'll tell you what,
absolutely. I'm in your fan club.
I'm fans of you guys too. So it's like a big fan fest. But I think it's what it is I really like speaking with like-minded people and people that have expertise in
yeah.
other realms, because I learn so much that way. I just love interacting with people. Do you want to know anything else about the how we would apply the ghost box technology, or how do we you have any other questions on that?
Robin,
any tips are always good. Any tips are always good. When we did the EVP with the recorder, we just sat it, literally, we sat it on the table and we just talked to the ghost. I mean, I knew there was a small girl there. I knew what she looked like because I was watching TV and I was laying on the bed one night and I looked over and she was sitting there on her knees with her hands folded like she was saying her prayers. And she sat there for the longest time, and I did what every stupid moron does. You know, you reach out to try to touch it. I did it deliberately. I wasn't freaked out. I wasn't upset. I watched her for a very long time, and I thought, well, we'll see what happens. And I just put my hand right through her, and she dissipated. But I had seen her darting in and out of the bathroom before, so it wasn't like, you know, I wasn't aware she was there. So when we did it, we just, you know, talked to her, and we put it down on the table, and that's how we got it. Now, when they did the ghost box in Georgia, you know, I think they tried to be a little bit more professional. I wasn't the one doing it. I was just in the room. And, you know, they were talking to her and asking her, or asking questions of who was there when she popped up. But she didn't, you know, it takes energy for them to do it. It's not the easiest thing in the world for them to do. And not all of them know how.
Right.
And she made a few comments here and there. But she got weak, and like I said, as soon as she got weak, she was mind speaking. So I mean, I knew what was wrong with her because she told me. She said, "I'm just too weak. I'm not strong enough to do it." You know, and then the older gentleman that was so obnoxious came on. It's like I wish his energy would drain out quick.
You'll find that a lot of the stronger entities will push the other ones aside. They'll either push the other ones aside and they will talk, or they won't let them talk, or they'll just won't let anybody talk. I've Manzo's like that. I've had several more do that. But one technique that I've been experimenting with for several years, I'm going to try to do a lot with this winter, I haven't done a whole lot with the last couple of years, is to charge your room with infrasound. And use like a an oscillator.
Yeah.
And go into and then charge the room with infrasound somewhere where, you know, no higher than 526 hertz, 526 hertz. Now, you know, it'll work. I mean, there's sweet spots all through the spectrum, but I seem to be have more luck out of infrasound than the ultrasound. So I'll charge you an area with that. You know, you'll hook your oscillator up to some speakers, and you just charge that area for 15, 20 minutes before you run your session, and sometimes they can take that vibration, you know, and use that and come in really strong. But
it makes a lot of sense. What a great idea.
And I've used it, and it's actually worked very well for me some. But I'm still tweaking that, trying to play with it, trying to find the sweet spot with purpose.
You've got to be careful, because if you are a high energy person, which to see me you wouldn't think I was, but for whatever reason my energy vibration is extremely high, and they, you know, they'll try to get out, even the good ones will try to piggyback you just to draw that energy.
Oh yeah.
I mean, you can block them, but you know, you have to know what you're doing to do it.
And another trick, we'll say that you have a lot of activity, you know, in a home or a commercial type building. You know, sometimes I'll just shoot the infrasound out into the room, and they'll do the trick. Other times I'll put it against the foundation, or if you're doing a jail or something, I'll put it because a lot of times the steel will run all the way through. You know, that whole floor, you know. So I put it against the cells and let it vibrate all the way down, you know, through the whole level. And
right.
I've done, or charge a whole building like that, a small building, you know. I mean, you just huge building. But because it'll cause the building itself will absorb that frequency, and it'll start vibrating.
That's
not
great.
Not perceivably, but in theory, it's using it as a conduit, you know.
Yeah.
So, you know, if you have stone or steel and wood to a point, it's a conductor. It'll use that infrasound. We'll use that as a conductor, and it'll just travel throughout that building.
Yeah.
But you have to
Tony.
Be careful with it, because it's untelling what you can open up sometimes.
Absolutely.
I tell you what, Tony, you have really taught us a lot tonight about what to do and how to do it in terms of communicating with spirits. And this is something, I mean, I think it's a very practical thing that people want to know about. I mean, you know, we all have our areas of expertise. I'm kind of like the guy that connects people. Robin has a wealth of experience. You have, Tony, you've got a wealth of experience in terms of, you know, being able to use technology to talk to people, and that's important. And you know, I think it takes all of us together to try to make something, to make a product that people can understand and learn about. And that's one reason, Tony, as I talked with you earlier, I want to take the contents of this podcast and some further interviews with you, and try to put together something that we can add to the field researcher's guide for Bigfoot, because, you know, I've found out that, and I'll go ahead and say it, that BFRO and a number of other people using spirit boxes and EVPs to track Bigfoot. Now, Robin,
let me
I'd
just
like,
tell you a bad
like,
idea.
I'd like for you to comment on that, please.
Well, in fact, you know, Janice and I were speaking about that very same thing, and as usual, we pretty much agree on it. We agree on an awful lot. I mean, we have our differences, but her and I primarily agree on all this. When you're doing that, okay, let's say you're out in the woods and you're looking for the Bigfoot. All of these things are energy-based. Everything on this planet is, everything in the galactics are. So the higher vibration, the higher energy, the more things cluster together. So you go out in the woods and you're looking for the forest people, you're not only going to get the Bigfoot, you're going to get every cryptid out there. And everything hangs together. So you're already getting spirits, you're already getting entities, you're getting all these things. Now, the Bigfoots are just trying to live their life. They really are. I mean, not that they don't watch us, but we watch them too. So it's a trade-off. But you go out there with these EVP boxes, and people seem to think that it's fun and everything, but it's really not, because you're inviting things into these boxes that are now in the forest people's home. You know, and people don't look at it from that side. They just look at it and say, oh, maybe we'll get a voice, or maybe we'll get this. You know, the bionic ear, use that. That's not going to drag it in like a spirit box will, because of the white noise. It's not like these little regular recorders. The regular recorders, you may pick it up then, but, you know, you can put these voice recorders out and get the foot's voice. That's fine. But when you're using these spirit boxes, in my opinion, for whatever that is worth, which is probably nothing, but you're crossing a line, because when you go and you use these things and these things come in, that's your choice, because you're taking on that responsibility. That's what you choose to do for yourself, is to communicate. And there's absolutely nothing wrong with that. But when you go out into the woods with them, you're in their home now. And you're sitting there with a box that literally can bring in all these other things. And then they're left to deal with it. You know, and they're attracted to the energy like all these things are, because they're all energy based. And whether or not it'll help you bring them in, I'm not going to say yes or no. You know, I don't think it is going to help the way they think it is, because they can sense a camera, they can sense the bionics ears, they can do the recorders, and they can sure as heck pick up that there's a spirit box there. But you're going to get, you know, you can get them really riled up, because what happens is you're talking to something that's new in their house. Now, if you're sitting in your home and you start hearing a voice come that you don't know all over your house, you're going to want to protect your family. You're going to want to protect your home because you think somebody broke in. Now, you take these spirit boxes out there, and you're just bringing more entities into their homes, into their lives. So they're going to be, they might watch more. Others may take their family and move them back deeper in the woods just to avoid it. But some of them are going to want to know what's going on in case they have to defend their family. You know, I mean, they're great if you want to contact the spiritual realms. I think that's wonderful. And I applaud Tony, because he does one heck of a good job. He really does. But as far as to use it for Bigfoot research, I really have concerns. Like I said, use your bionic ears. Use those little voice box, the regular little recorders. There's nothing wrong with that, because they'll turn around and they'll zap that, or they'll shut it off if they want it off. Whether you want it to or not, they can take the energy from their body and manipulate the electronics. But these spirit boxes, I think, are a little bit different. And I just don't get a good feeling about bringing that into the Bigfoot realm.
Yes, sir.
And also, I'm new to the cryptid realm, but you're going also in the woods. You're going to have elementals. So
yep.
Who's to say that the elementals aren't jerking your chain? Because you have
you're not going to really know what you're getting.
You don't know.
And
what
if you're
getting,
doing no, and that's the thing. It could be an elemental. It could be a dimensional. It could be some weird wacky thing that came through a portal. You know, it could be a ghost, it could be anything, but you don't know. And now, you know, when you make a conscious choice that you're going to do this, you're taking on that responsibility for yourself. But when you take it out there, you're dumping it on them, and they have nothing to say about it. That's not how you build good contact. And I think there's a huge difference between having a good contact and having a bad contact. When they're pelting rocks at you because they don't want you there, they're fleeing in terror, they're throwing logs down around you, that's not a good contact. I mean, that, nobody, I mean, people will take that because they don't have anything else, but it's ridiculous. That's not how you build a relationship. You know, now when you go out there and they're rolling these little pebbles at you, like they will, they'll have you rolling back, or, you know, they're following you and you've got positive interaction. That's what you want. You know, you don't want the bad interaction. So why go into their world and behave badly? You
well,
know,
Robin,
you can't control what comes in that box.
Now, hold on. I think you make a tremendous point here. And this is maybe something that we had really never talked about. But
right.
We need to talk about the science of making positive contact. Because there are a lot of people who want to go out in the woods and want to have contact with Bigfoot. But
yeah,
they
but
don't
I mean,
know
even
how.
If you flip it, but even if you flip it over to the spirit side, okay, like with Tony does amazing investigations. He really is trying to contact the spirit realm, and that can be a beautiful thing. It could be a great thing. But now if you're standing out in the woods in it and you're getting all these other things, are those spirits that you're trying to contact going to really want to come out in that? How do they feel? I mean, you have to look at both sides of the coin. I don't care what the situation is. And I just think when you take it out into the woods with the Bigfoot, now, if you're going out there because maybe a certain spirit, that's where it was at, that person passed there, you're trying to connect with them, absolutely. But when you go out there for a different purpose, I don't think that it's good for the spirits, and I don't think it's good for the Bigfoot. I mean, we need to be respectful no matter what kind of research we do. And Tony is. Like, anything I've heard him say, he's always respectful. So please don't think that I'm saying anything that he isn't, because I really think very, very highly of Tony. But,
no,
I mean,
no,
I
think
respect has to be the key.
It really does. I think we need to do is if we could put down, again, I'm the researcher. I want to put this in writing. How would you go about properly trying to talk to and contact Bigfoot? Because there are, you know, for all the people that want to do something bad, there are those of us that want to do something good. And they want it to be,
right.
We want it to be non-confrontive. We want it to be positive in everything. So, I mean, it's like, what's the protocols? What are the rules that we need to do? And maybe this is kind of honestly, this might be a landmark discussion. We ought to try to put this together so that people.
I think so, because they're, right now it's a free-for-all, and nobody uses any rules. You know, I feel like Tony does. Tony knows how to go about this and do it the way that will work and that's effective and doesn't come off violently. But there's so many people that don't know that, and because there isn't anything out there and what you should, and I'm not an expert. I don't ever claim to be. But, you know, it's about respect, and whether it's the spirits or whether it's the Bigfoots or the dogmen or the elemental or the dimensional, they all deserve respect.
Yes, because
if
you don't respect them, then you're not going to have, like you said, you're not going to have a pleasant interaction with them. Because
exactly.
One of the EVPs I caught deep in the woods, I mean, we were like 12 miles from the nearest house. And we thought there may have been some old homesteads or something like that. Just settled since the late 1700s. And, I mean, middle of nowhere. And there's been Bigfoot activity on this close to this place where we were at. But the EVP I got in the middle of nowhere was a gentleman with a very proper voice. I said, "Is there anyone here with us?" He goes, and I still have the EVP somewhere on one of the laptops. I can play for it sometime. He says, "I am very pissed." He didn't say, "I'm happy to see you." He says, "I'm very pissed."
Yeah.
So I don't know whether he was mad because we were encroaching on him. I don't know what, if he was just a grumpy spirit. All I can tell you is the EVP and the situation I called in where I was at.
Yeah. Well, and the thing of it is no matter how hard we try, there's always going to be something that we contact that is not going to be happy we're contacting them. But the thing of it is if we try to be as respectful as possible, there's going to be a lot less of those encounters like that.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. I mean, it does. I was called out to a site out in Texas for somebody setting up a research site, and he took me back to this one part of this 100 acres, and the second I got there, I knew it was disrespectful. That wasn't the area we were supposed to be in, and it didn't go well. You know, it didn't go well. I calmed the situation down. I got him and his grandchildren out alive, which is not exactly what I think that particular foot wanted, but I did get him out. But he had crossed that line. You know, granted, it was a line he didn't know he crossed, but the end result was the same. And I've been very blessed, for whatever reason, that the interactions that I have with all my groups, whether I was in Michigan or I was in South Carolina, have been a positive interaction. And it doesn't mean I know any more than anybody else. I just may do things differently. You know,
there has to be balance.
I agree, absolutely. And if the only way you can get interaction is to have bad interaction, then you need to find a different field.
Yes, that's correct.
Because
now,
you're not.
The place that I'm going to take you to when you come into Harlan, there was a lady that had, she hunted with us a little bit. She had a little bit of, she was intuitive to a certain point, and she tried to stretch that. She tried to do more than she was capable of. And there's this gentleman named Joe that he kind of, you know, he's real copacetic. He didn't bother anybody. He'll talk to you two or three times a year, you know. It always been really nice to us. Well, he could tell she crossed the boundary. He could tell that there something wasn't kosher about her. And Joe talked to her like worse than a milk cow. And that's an old country saying. I mean, he called her everything, but cursed her out. I mean, called her everything but
yeah.
A milk cow. Come over with a spirit box, I'm telling you. And a buddy of mine may still have part of that audio. I'm trying to get it from him. I didn't have the audio from that night, but we had a lot of activity. And he talked really, really bad to her. But she crossed those boundaries, and he let her know it really, really fast, and everybody around her.
Yeah. Wow. I mean, like I said, I just think that, you know, if you want to get a voice recorder and take out there, I have no problem with that. If you want the, you know, metabolic ear, I have no problem with that. But when you go to the ghost box and you're trying to communicate through that, that changes things. And I think it's not so much getting them, their vocals, it's just you call in so many other things. Now, you have to remember, their families are there. Their children are there. Their ancestors are there. Their parents, their grandparents. I mean, these are family units. These are not just some random place.
Right.
And it does piss them off.
And
you don't need a spirit. You're not a, you know, you don't have to have a spirit box to hear them.
Let's look at this logically, okay? Like we're putting a case together. Say we're in the middle of the woods, and I don't have a dog in this fight one way or the other. I'm just looking at it from a logical perspective.
Right.
Okay? And we have a ghost box with us, and we ask a question, and we get a response. How can we prove, and people say, well, how can you not prove it? But how can we prove that's coming from a Bigfoot? How can we know?
Exactly.
How can we prove that? I mean, what data do we have? I mean, unless he steps out from behind the tree and waves at us, then
yep.
Then we,
well,
you,
I
you know.
I don't
so,
see the
so,
benefit to it for that field
so,
of research.
And
for spirits, absolutely.
With, so we don't know we're catching, not catching elemental. We know elementals are real. We know there's other things in the woods besides elementals, different types of spirits. We know there's probably regular spirits that may have met their demise close by. So it's like how do you know? How can we prove this? And I guess that's what John's saying, is we come up with a, you want to come up with a protocol that is playing the statistical probability like I do with the EVPs, where you're going, okay, if it meets checkbox A, B, and C, the possibility of it being a Bigfoot interaction is pretty high.
Yeah, I mean, if it walks like a duck and looks like a duck, it's a duck.
And now I'll jump right in here and say, I think it's very important that we put together a series of protocols. Now, I will introduce both of you at the Silva Comic Con, which is Western Carolina University, and that is going to be in I think the 21st of March, to Spencer Fisher, who can absolutely go out and raise lights from the ground because he uses a certain protocol. And I think the four of us need to get together and start trying to establish some positive protocol.
I think that's a great idea. You know,
that
so
we
many
can,
of these.
Yeah. Please continue,
these,
Robin.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt you, Jen.
Please continue.
These are one of these hot topics for me because, you know, again, I've been around these guys since I was a little kid. You know, I'm extremely close to a few of them. And this kind of stuff really infuriates me because, like I said, you're in their home now. You would never go to somebody else's home and behave the way we do. And we would never tolerate it if it happened to us. And it's like there's so many groups out there, and they don't care what kind of interaction. Their whole thing is they just want the interaction. But then this is where the foots get such a bad name, because there's already good and bad, just like with our people. As I've said a million times, there is bad out there. But some of them that are actually good are getting labeled as bad because they're having to protect themselves. They're having to protect their families. And why are they having to? Because we show no respect. We go in there and we do whatever we can to kick them off, because that's the only way they can get that interaction. And my point is, if that's the only way you get that interaction, then you shouldn't be there. You know, you don't have, if the only way you can do something is to be bad, why is it when they respond negatively, they get labeled bad and people with guns come out and we need to exterminate them and all the other garbage that gets put out there? No, because if you wouldn't have done that to them, they wouldn't have had to protect themselves. You know, and I'm not talking about the bad ones that are there. I'm talking about the good ones. They get labeled and treated badly because they're protecting themselves, because we don't have enough common sense and respect for anything to do things properly. My granddaughter, when she was 5 years old, they rolled a little pebble right up to her while she was playing in the sand. She rolled it right back. She said, and they absolutely love her. They still love her to this day, and she's a teenager. My daughter grew up around these. Actually, both of them did, but more so my younger daughter. And she has one that's followed her all the way from Michigan that's kept an eye on her. And when I talked to her yesterday, and she said, Mom, is my foot still around? And I said, absolutely. Because she was kind, you know. And I'm not an expert. I'm not going to tell anybody that the way I do things works for them. That's, you know, that's something they have to deal with themselves. I can help if they want and tell them my experiences, but I'm not an expert. But I do know one thing. I have never been invasive, never. Not one single time. They know when I'm coming. If I feel like get a vibe from them that it's not the right time, okay, that's your choice. I had a female bring her baby to my home for me to see. I got within 50 feet of that child. She was as calm as a cucumber. She never was threatening. She didn't even seem like she had a care in the world. But I wasn't invasive. I don't force anything on them. Number one, it's a disaster even if you want to try it, because they can overpower you in a minute. But I don't. I have, you know, different places that I go, I have where they bring the children out, for heaven's sakes, because they know I'm not going to push those buttons. And I had a researcher come to my house one time, and he went, and he'd been fine any time he'd been out. And he went and he got in his car, and he comes out with this giant stuffed gorilla. And I said, what are you doing? And he said, well, I figure we'll get activity with this. And I said, well, back up. Like, what kind of activity are you looking for? And he said, well, you know, last time we were here, we just kind of walked the woods and we got wood knocks and we heard vocals, you know, and we found structures and prints. I'm like, and that's not enough. Well, no, I want them, you know, this should make them come out of the woodwork so I can see them. I'm going to put this on my shoulder to piss them off. And I said, you can now leave my home. And I forbid him from going into the woods that day, and I never let him come back. You know, he had beautiful interaction. But the interaction I've had is because I've spent a lifetime with it. And I'm sure there's people out there that may get more interaction than I have, or maybe less. But by God, the interaction I have is done honestly and with mutual respect, and there's never at one moment do they feel threatened or, you know, pushed to the point where they feel like I'm on top of them. You know, I guess you have to look at it morally. And the same thing with the spirits or the elementals or the dimensionals. You know, if that's the only way you can get interaction is to be so invasive that really, you know what, people know right from wrong. You know what's wrong. But people put that aside because all they care about is that interaction. And I think there has to be a level of morality when we're doing this stuff. Because, yes, we want to get the information. Yes, we want the research. But what is the price to them? And I think that's where we need to kind of like draw the line and say this is, you know, we want positive. It may take a little bit longer, but it's positive.
Well, that's why I say we have to develop a protocol of a contact protocol, just like Spencer Fisher, my buddy in Silva, who, you know, he was the number two MMI in the world for 3 years. Spencer Fisher can raise lights from the ground because he uses the proper protocol. And I want to put him on
right.
This committee of Robin, of Tony, and Spencer and me. We've got a committee, and we've got to put together a set of protocols for Bigfoot interaction, for spirit interaction. Tony, do you like that idea?
Well, yeah. Yeah, most of the researchers I work with have, you know, we all know, we all have boundaries, and we don't want to, you know, if the entity wants to cross over, we try to help, you know, help them cross over, get someone that can help them cross over and things like that to keep because I don't think it's fair to, if you can help them cross over, to keep them in a cage like a zoo animal just so you can get some EVPs from them. You know?
Another reason why I love you, Tony.
And because if you do, one of these days we'll cross over and want somebody to keep us in a cage, you know?
Yeah.
But, so, you know, you have to have some boundaries, personal boundaries that you won't go past.
Because,
you know, we had an investigation, it's been several years ago, in a graveyard where some people were performing some rituals. We feel very confident they were performing some rituals. And they had bound some folks to a graveyard. It was an influenza graveyard. And I worked a little bit. I got the local priest to come in and bless the graveyard. Now, I could have kept going back and back and run into a negative entity like a collector, somebody they'd left there to keep all of them in line because one of the investigators had gotten attacked. And, you know, I could have just left it alone and said, man, this is my own private lab right here. Because I caught some crazy EVPs, crazy interaction. You know, I had an old country gentleman once they figured out that we were there to help because they had initially said, you know, the EVPs were coming across, man, very, very clear, like, don't trust you. Watch the ring, which the ring they were talking about was the ring of stones, heads, some of them were headstones, some of them were regular stones around an oak tree that, you know, or a semicircle around an oak tree they were using for some sort of ceremony. And this,
all right, well, Tony, I tell you what, I'm going to have to cut you short. We've got 10 seconds left. I want to thank everyone for this great Scary Cat Halloween. We'll have both of course, we'll have both of you back. And thank 10 seconds. The British lady has spoken, and thank you so much, Robin McRae, and thank you so much,
take care,
Tony,
you guys.
For
listening.
All
bye.
Right. See
you guys.
Bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.